Your own conduct and actions have brought this upon you. This is your punishment. How bitter it is, and how it pierces to the heart. Jeremiah 4:18. Recently, we observed Veterans Day, and I noticed that the community participation was down, and the time spent honoring those that had served also was made briefer. It was a somber gathering due to the fact that most of the old guard has passed, and the new guard has a changed notion of what the country that they signed on to defend should look like, act like, and talk like. And the change is so obvious in so many ways. For the entirety of the program, my eyes were either welled up with tears or the tears streamed down my face as I thought of those who gave their all, of those who came home deeply scarred, as I thought of the families that wept in the night and still remembered the face of the one that had once filled the now empty chair at the table, and I thought of all those who had come home so severely wounded, so changed, so different from the one who had left to go to the front lines and fight for something greater than themselves. And I thought of my own family, where 10 of my uncles had served, my biological dad, my brother, and the two men who would serve as stepdads to me had served, one of them living with a lifetime injury from an accident while serving, and the other retired from service. We have today forgotten what it took in order for us to be able to become the nation that the rest of the world looked to when disasters arose, when war broke out, when they needed aid for their own people. Many forget the history of Christianity in the founding of this nation, in the building of some of her greatest institutions. People from the nations have wanted to come here because they wanted what was offered to those who came to her shores, and they joined with her citizens in the opportunity to dream of what you could do, the opportunity to know freedom, and the hope for a fruitful life, not only for themselves but for their children. It was living the American dream. But somewhere along the journey's path, truth, honor, and dignity, morals, and ethics became derogative terms. And if you believed in any of these, then you became an enemy of the people who wrote the rules, changed the culture, and rewrote the historical narrative. But there are lessons to be learned from history, and today the American church and the secular culture are in the process of being reminded by the Lord of the importance of remembering. There's a quote that most everyone has heard one version of it or another, but it has not resonated with most because of the accountability and the responsibility of its words. Since its first appearing, the choice words have been interchanged, but its true meaning has not been lost. And each version has started out, "those who," and it is addressing the people who have, are presently, and will help to shape and determine the future of a nation. In those opening words, we come to see a view of the same thing, but from many different angles. Pointed out are those who cannot remember the past, ignore the lessons of the past, do not learn from the past, will not learn from the past, cannot learn from the past, fail to learn from the past, and who do not know the history of the past. And it is said of each of these that they are then doomed or condemned to repeat it. Recently, there is a day that will be written about, a day where a city only 24 years earlier watched as the heart of her was being struck. 3,000 people were killed in the falling of the Twin Towers, and countless others have died from the effects that have come upon them from trying to rescue, to save, and to bring security to a city that had been turned upon its head. And a cry rose out of that event, "Remember, never forget." And for years on the anniversary of the occasion, people would gather to remember those who had been killed that day as their names were read and a memorial service was observed. But on November 2, 2025, a man who by self-proclaiming of his faith, by his ideology and his beliefs that aligned with those responsible for the event 24 years earlier, would by the people of that same city elect this man as mayor. And with their blessings and the key to the city, they would welcome in an era of which they were not prepared for in any way. And it will be like a mighty wind sweeping in from the desert. And relief will call for great sacrifice, of which few of them are prepared to make. And those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. No longer does our education system teach civics class where our children learn how government was designed to work. Rather, they are taught that they just need to trust the government to work for them. No longer do those coming to these shores pursue the dream, but the benefits from it. And no longer are taught the lessons of the nation's founding or the wars that her sons and daughters were called to fight in. They know nothing of the cause of the famine during the Great Depression and the suffering during the other disasters caused by men and women throughout the ages. It was because they are not taught these things, they find nothing to be thankful for. There's only a cause for entitlement, because that is what the American dream has now been redefined as, living the good life without any personal cost. Leading up to the election in November of 2024, many lived in fear as the nation continued to divide and ideals grew further and further apart. The nation was being shredded by the fabricated infractions being broadcast. And so when leadership changed hands, just as unity had found a home after 9/11, so had there been a coming together in 2024, and the cry was made, "Remember, never forget." But where is the evidence of remembrance already today? Complacency and comfort is a spiritual condition where individuals become self-satisfied and neglect their dependence on God due to the ease and security of their circumstances. A false sense of security envelopes so many across the nation, as what they have been taught or what has been withheld from them muddies the waters between what is a lie and what is the truth. And truth has actually been banned. In the Old Testament, the Israelites are repeatedly admonished for being complacent after experiencing God's blessings. And here in America, God had raised up a new president. He had been handed the reins from the prior administration. Things were going to be turned around, and "we will wait and see" attitude fell upon the land as the demands of peace and security fell upon one man. But what people forgot was that he was a man, and the changes that needed to be made would not come by his hand alone. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses warned the Israelites, "Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commandments and ordinances and statutes that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build the fine houses in which to dwell, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery." Complacency and comfort can lead to a false sense of security, spiritual blindness, and a lack of vigilance. It often results in a diminished prayer life, reduced engagement with Scripture, and a weakened sense of community and service. And what takes place today is not the problem of one generation. It is an accumulation of many generations. From the hardships that once challenged a young nation to the overabundance of her prosperity, that has led to corruption, fraud, and a false sense of security. Where forgotten by this people is the history of those who have traveled down the same path and who failed to see that before them was the destruction of all that was intended as good and blessings, and what was once meant for good is now used for evil, and all because there are those who cannot, ignore, do not, will not, cannot fail to learn, who do not know the history of the past. And of them it is said that they are then doomed or condemned to repeat it. So should the Lord continue to tarry with the current state of the church, with the current state of the nation, and with the current state of the minds and hearts of the people who fill her from shore to shore, without the hand of God interceding in her preservation, of what hope do her future generations have? The Lord will call into account each of us and ask why we did not speak when we should have, why we were not silent when we should have been, why we did not move to intercede when opportunity arose, and why we chose our comforts over life and death over suffering for something greater than ourselves. It is written, "As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God, and so then each of us will give an account of himself to God." Romans 14. Church, the truth is hard to tell. It's hard to hear, hard to live by, but there is someone who will guide you and show you that this is the only way to know freedom, to find peace and to have rest. And all of this comes through one truth, through one man, And his name is Jesus Christ, and he is the Son of God. And everything else that is about you is sinking sand. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. And to obey him means that it is not ourselves that our concern is focused on, but as he did, we should be thinking of those who will come after us and prepare the way so that they also will be a light that shines in the darkness. Like him, we are not our own, no matter what the world tries to tell us.